Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul, is you living? We all under attack, is you different? I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner. Gangs got their sights on him, on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my appeals dead, they took the road. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstate for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
and may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with ISIS and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature
of the crime.
I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though.
Bismillah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, here we are again, y'all. That's right, returning again for Point of Impact. Oh, love it, love it, love it. Man, here we are, July the 30th, Point of Impact, a very beautiful day. Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah for allowing us this opportunity. If you're not speaking, please place your phone on mute, but yo, we're going to have a wonderful day. Of course, you know, I, your host, along with our co-host, Mr. Hansford, that's me, Malai, here with you all present. Minhaj Malai, I'm here with you all present. Mother Queen Krista, are you here with us?
Yes, yes, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Ma. Miss you. Brother to the people, Hassan.
You know what time it is, bro. Let's get it on, man. Keep some blessings for everybody.
And to our newest co-host, you guys, let's give a warm welcome, Miss Karen Morrison, Mother Queen Karen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me tonight. I'm looking forward to co-hosting the show with you guys.
Oh, that's so solid.
That's what. Yeah.
Hey, Hassan, we got to be on our day, man. We got to be on. We got two sharp sisters up here, baby. We get ready. Hey, look, we get ready to be hitting them all over the fence, baby, all over the fence.
Yeah, I'm with it. Hey, I'm going to take my swing.
Hey, listen, Mom, we got to just want to bring the mention there's a wonderful weekend coming up for the fourth, I mean, for the fifth and the sixth. I know next weekend, you guys, there's some wonderful events going on in the Tidewater area. We got the Fuse Fest that's going to be in Norfolk on Church Street, and that's going to be going on from on the fifth on Saturday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Hey, man, it's a lot going on out there, all types of festivities going on. Community United Folks and Freedom Over Everything will be out there representing, and I'll also be out there representing Norfolk's NAACP branch. So you guys come on out. We will be having a session. I think it's a 30-minute session. Community United Folks will be talking about violence in the community. So, you know, come on out. We're going to be present. And then also on the 5th and the 6th in Newport News, you got Catch More Kids. They're doing Catch More Kids Day. They're having their event for 2 days from Saturday to Sunday. So you definitely want to get out there. I'll be present out there Sunday and representing Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything as well as Fight for Freedom. You know what I'm saying? That's right. I represent everybody I rock with. You know what I'm saying? I don't leave nobody out. Even all the coalition organizations like Virginia Safety Coalition and Virginia Alliance for Justice Alliance team founded by Jennifer Dalton. So, you know, we're going to be in the place, man. So if y'all, you know, you're looking for something positive to do with your kids, hey, there's plenty of activities in the Tidewater area, the seven cities, Hampton Roads area. You definitely can get out and be a part of, okay? But tonight, guys, hey, look, we have a wonderful guest. This young lady that I'm going to introduce you to, man, she's so provocative. I'll never forget the first time I heard her speak at one of the events we had for the criminal justice. And she's an advocate for minority voters to get out and make a difference. This lady is prolific. I can't wait for you to meet her. Her name is Sheva Williams, and she's going to be coming on right in a second and talking to you all and sharing with you, you know, the powerful things that she's doing and what she's calling to. And then we'll have a good call, a beautiful call from a brother by the name of Marvin Monday. And Marvin Monday is a gentleman who was a mentor to me in when I was in the Bing. And I'm sure Hassan is very familiar with him. And, you know, this guy, man, has been in the prison system now for, sure, I think, 30 years or so. And he's fighting to get out on a parole. He just went out for parole, and he's fighting to get out, and he's asking for organizations to support him by sending in reference letters to the parole board, because this brother is truly a brother who has changed the game, changed the narrative for his life, as well as the narrative concerning returning citizens and the work that we do inside and outside of prison. So this is a wonderful night. So we're going to get right into the Sheba, are you with us, sister?
I'm here.
Oh, good evening. How are you, Sister Peace?
I'm doing okay. I lost my voice earlier this week recovering, but I'm here. I'm good to go.
Okay. Hey, listen. I don't know, boy. Listen. You heard her say she lost her voice, right? So, look, that just tell you, she be burning the mic up. Listen, that might be hot when she gets done, bro. Yo, if you ain't coming with no fire, you mess around and get burned up because you ain't going to be able to handle it.
Don't get behind her now. Don't get after her.
Don't get after Sheba. If you're going to be a presenter of any event, you might want to go before Sheba. I'm going to tell you that right now. So, Sheba, listen, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you're doing, and really, you know, what is going on with Sheba and what you represent, sister?
Sure, absolutely. Thank y'all for having me. I apologize in advance that I might sound like Big Ange a little bit, but my name is Sheba Williams. I am the founder and executive director of an organization called No Left Turns. I started this organization in 2016 after my ex-husband, who was arrested at the age of 15 and tried as an adult, was sentenced to 74 years. He came home after 18 and a half years in DOC. Both of my parents were arrested when I was 10 years old. My sister was wrongfully arrested in 1999 and released after 6 months. She was acquitted. I was wrongfully convicted of a crime in 2004. I did not go to prison, but I was sentenced to probation, which was supposed to be 5 years, ended up being 9 years, where I lost my right to vote.
Wow.
I dove into the systems and all of the things that were impacting my community and my family. I have three uncles who are incarcerated and have been incarcerated since 1989. I have a best friend who is going on year number 25, and he should be home soon. But a lot of brothers and sisters who are still incarcerated. And we started the organization to do the right service work for people coming home from long-term incarceration. We ended up figuring out that we were wasting money, wasting time, energy, and money on temporary solutions. And if we did not get involved in policy work, then we could not make the changes that we needed for people. So we started getting involved in policy around 2017. We broke a few barriers with voting rights. We made sure that 69,045 individuals who are on probation got their voting rights back in 2021. We abolished the death penalty. We got the first ever record sealing bill passed in 2021 that doesn't take effect until 2025, some probation reform, and a lot of things that impact people's day-to-day lives that a lot of people don't think about. So that is just a short of what we do, but there's so much more to go. My organization, along with a few other organizations, co-wrote the second look bill that has not been successful yet, but we're going to keep fighting for it because we need people who don't have any other options to come home.
Wow, that's powerful. Sister Mother Queen Krista, you want to speak to Sister Sheba?
Hi, Sheba.
Hey, sis.
Yeah, first of all, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a long time coming. I always think of you as a powerhouse for the community. You know, you speak well. You have a great influence for not only just the men, but just the women in general that has been through what you've been through or worse. So, you know, just knowledge is power. I cannot add to or take away from anything that you've said. As usual, but, you know, I just enjoy every time you speak with confidence, you know what you're talking about, you're a plethora of knowledge for us all, so just keep up the work, and, you know, I'm more than inspired by what you do.
Absolutely. Like, for people who don't know, this is a team effort. Like, this is something that we work on all across the state, and there are tons of people who do the work, not nearly enough, but the small few of us that do the work, we do the work together, whether people know it or not. Like, I'm in Richmond, and for people in Richmond, if you are here this Saturday, there is the Return of Citizens event that'll be at Three Lakes Park. But I travel all across the state, and I think the reason that I'm on tonight is to talk about the lawsuit that we have against the governor and secretary of the Commonwealth that is essentially disenfranchising individuals in Virginia who have served their time, who lost their right to vote due to felony disenfranchisement. And, like, just to kind of clear the air, it's not about this administration or this governor or this secretary of the Commonwealth. Our organization and a ton of other coalition members have been fighting to get the right to vote out of the hands of one elected official for a decade. We have been fighting for a constitutional amendment that allows people to have their right back as soon as they leave physical bondage. This right. Governor decided after a decade of governors changing the narrative and giving people their rights back without bias to make a process that was secretive and to not allow people who still owe fines and fees, which we got rid of in 2016, and to discriminate against people who had violent offenses. So, you know, some things are happening. If you are a person who has been waiting on your rights, the governor has taken the notion to reinstate some people's rights in the past couple of weeks because he's trying to get rid of the lawsuit that we filed.
Okay.
We're still fighting. That is part of our programming. Restoration rights and voter registration is part of our programming and has been since we started in 2016. But essentially, they're trying to make sure that this November election is kind of swayed in the way that they want it to go. So it is essential that people who have the right to vote show up to the polls. They show up in the primaries that are in June. Virginia has an election every year. You need to show up to vote in your local elections. You need to show up to vote for president. You need to show up to vote for everybody who makes decisions about your life, no matter what it is you care about. You need to be at that poll. You should be at those locations because in our work, the people who are targeted first and the most are criminal justice reform advocates and people who we care about. We cannot do our job if people don't show up at the polls and elect people who believe in second chances and believe in first chances, believe in opportunity for people who not just suffer from substance use disorder or behavioral health disorder, but poverty and the way that this world is constructed to make sure that we don't have the same opportunities as everybody else. So my job is to fight for people who are impacted by mass incarceration, but your job is to support that fight and show up at the polls. That is the least of things. Serve on these boards and commissions that make decisions about the money, that make decisions about who gets what tax revenue, who make all the decisions about things that impact us in life. And I don't care if you care about education, reproductive rights, abortion, trans rights, criminal justice, street lights. You have to get in the fight in order for me to keep doing my job effectively.
Well, I like that. That's great. I love the call. Sister Mother Queen Karen, you want to present a question or comment? You want to speak to
no,
Sister
No, I actually
Sheba?
Want to just say thank you to Queen Sheba Williams because I know of the work that she's doing. She's definitely in the trenches. She's fighting, like, all the wonderful things that she's doing. I've especially been watching her with the fight. And of course, you know, we support you, Queen Sheba, on restoration of rights and just not discriminating against people that are coming out. And we actually agreed that it should be done automatically. As soon as they have their release paper, their rights should be restored. It shouldn't be reapplying. They're citizens. Once they step out of prison, they never even lose their citizenship while they're incarcerated. And so we definitely support you. And I just want to say kudos to how hard you fought for the second chance bill because that is so important. There's so many people that's incarcerated right now that are serving unjust sentences that you can't even fathom, 133 years, 150 years, 199 years, triple life at 250 years. And so we definitely support you on those initiatives especially, but we just thank you for how hard you fight that, you know, you don't back down. So I'm really happy to see you go, sister. So you just know that Fighting for Freedom is here to support you. Anytime I reach out to you, you always respond, and we're just really thankful for you.
Oh, yeah, wow. Absolutely. Brother Hassan, you want to speak to our sister?
Yeah. Hey, Sheba, most definitely. You know, first and foremost, I'm just happy to have you on. This has been a long time coming for you to be here with us and to really to allow us an opportunity to expose you and the work that you've been doing and also that you know. And there's no big eyes and little U's in this thing. I understand that every time you move, you're moving with some power and force of other individuals that are willing to step up to the plate with you and take on that struggle. But the truth is we need more, right? The truth is we need more. And really, when we talk about the second look and these different bills and other bills that we're going to develop as time go on and that we're going to advocate for and that we're going to push, we most definitely need the people to be involved. And why? It's because mass incarceration, it affects us all in one way or another, right? And the idea that only disenfranchised or marginalized people who've been incarcerated are going to benefit from this is really not giving it the credit that it's due, right? A second look bill also becomes a second look for the families who these people have been apart from, right? You want to know why we have a problem in our communities? Largely, it's because there's a missing link there, that there are generations of men and women who have been incarcerated and separated from their families, right? And so just talking to you, I want you to really harp on the importance of civic engagement, right, for the people in our communities and why it's necessary for them to be involved in the politics that govern them.
So the most important thing that I can tell you is there is something that you care about that is determined by your vote, that is determined by your engagement, that is determined by where you live, what you get, what you give. For people who don't care anything about this system that we're fighting against, and the system is working the way it was designed. The problem is it needs to all be burned down and met with resistance from people like us. The communities that are policed the most, the communities that are overcharged, over-sentenced, over-incarcerated the most are the ones that are divested from the fastest. And if you think about how many parks and rec programs you have, if you think about how many mentorship programs you have, if you think about how many job opportunities you have for 14 to 21 to 25-year-olds, even 40, 50, 60-year-olds, if you think about transportation, if you think about grocery stores, all of that leads back to who you vote in office and who fights for what you need. So if you don't care, if you don't care about incarceration, if you don't think that it impacts you, your tax dollars are either paying for $13,000 in education for a student or $33,000 to incarcerate an individual in Department of Corrections every year. Department of Corrections has a budget of $1.8 billion, would it be, and there is zero oversight. So when we fight for oversight, when we fight for people to have humanity who are incarcerated, it is not because we think that people should not be held accountable for what they do. It is because we think that people who oversee their punishment should be held accountable for the way that they treat them, the way that they feed them, the way that they do not provide health care and assistance and education and reentry resources for these individuals. Community-based organizations who are the least funded, like mine, go the hardest to make sure that people have their basic needs when they come out. There are policies in place to make sure that people are barred from housing. And if you think about housing applications, the only legal means of discrimination is if you have a criminal record. There are protections for a source of income. There are protections for if you have children, if you are elderly, if you are disabled, if you are blind, dumb, crippled, LGBTQ, whatever, there are protections. But if you have a criminal record, you can legally be discriminated against in housing. The foundation of support is in having a stable place to live. That means that you don't have to buy food on the go all the time. That means that you can save money. That means that you can have things in a stable place. But we take it upon ourselves to keep going along with the go along to say that we can keep discriminating against these people, that we can keep pushing these 46,000 collateral consequences to say that after you've done your time, you can still be punished over and over and over again. We have to step up and say enough, because our tax dollars are paying for the social services program that people have to depend on when they are legally allowed to make less income, when they're legally allowed to not live in certain places. It behooves me that people don't know and understand what the economic terrorism of felonization is, because you pay for it one way or the other. I'm going to make sure that my people, my friends, my family, whoever has what they need. But there is 1 in 3 adults in the world who are impacted by some sort of record. Do we keep saying that we push those people out and then want to know why the kids are acting the way that they're acting, why gun violence is the way it is? All of it is connected to you being able to show up and say enough is enough with this broken system.
Yeah.
I don't know where y'all want me to go with it, but we're going to fight this fight.
I'm so grateful, and I hope the listeners are listening to the many categories of barriers that they place in the way of people who, and a lot of these people haven't even really done amounts of efficient time in prison. It's just even being on supervision, and people don't realize how this is why we have so many, like at this present moment, you see so many people who are homeless, and these aren't people who are really struggling with addiction problems or mental illness. It's just being confronted with the issues that Sister Sheba was just talking about, like housing and things of this nature, battling with all types of barriers that are in the way of the progress of people who they never intended to progress. You understand? So I really wish the listeners are paying attention. This is why I'm so excited about this young lady. And I love that what she's calling to and the message that she's calling to. And I'm just I'm so inspired a lot when I hear Sister Sheba speak, because it just, she keeps me realizing just how much more work I got to do, you know, and get on my grind, you know, and get out here and support as many like-minded people, because we have to be the soldiers. And I'm going to speak straight to it. We applied for a $400,000 grant, which we were literally invited and pushed to apply for. And as she just spoke, we're hard working on the ground, but we're the ones being denied these grant fundings to be able to do the work that is necessary in the community. And they know what they're doing. They know who they're denying, you know, and they put all these different criterias in front of you after the fact of when they're telling you why you didn't get the grant money, you know, which they never applied into the points of what you need to apply or put in when you're putting in your grant. So be on point. You got to do your homework and pay attention to the people who are speaking, because they can give you answers and they can give you, you know, the points of where you need to attack and pay attention. So, Sister Sheba, what is on the agenda for you in your organization in the upcoming months? What your main attack is addressing the issue of Youngkins and getting the voting rights reestablished, or is there anything else that you're pushing?
I'll be honest. The voting rights case is important. People getting registered to vote is important. People getting their rights back is important. But we're still going to be fighting for our second look bill in 2024. We're still going to be fighting to expand our expungement bill in 2024. We're still going to work on making sure that there are housing resources for people who are impacted by records in 2024. We don't get the luxury to sit down and take a session off because things don't look good. Getting to the polls is the most important thing in this moment right now. Getting people energized, and you have to educate yourself. Don't just vote because it says Dem or Republican, because I don't subscribe to a party. I subscribe to justice and what's right and what's wrong. We have a lot of flaws with the people that are in office right now, so we got to educate ourselves about who aligns with our values. I have been traveling all across the state trying to get people to be more in tune with the fact that voting is the key to making sure that we get what we want in these systems. People aren't taking it seriously. Let's just be real. Our people especially won't show up to a voter registration and restoration of rights drive, or they'll say, I don't vote, I don't do that. But then they'll come right back and say, I'm incarcerated, I need you to help me with my pardon, I need you to help me with my case. I can't do anything to help you if you don't help yourself with putting the right people in position. And I ain't running for office because I cuss on TV. I'm going to stay in the community and do the work where I am most effective. But the people who are running, it's time to demand what you want from them, not let them tell you what they're going to do for you. Don't let them just put up a platform and say that this is going to be my focus, and then they don't focus on their focus when they actually get in office. Hold them to the fire. Show up in their offices year-round, not just when session is in, because guess what? When session is in January to March, it's too late to try to get anything done. Mm. Bills go in October, November, sometimes September. You got to have those conversations year-round, and you got to talk about what you want, what you demand of your representatives, not what they're going to do for you.
Wow, that's so true. Thank you for enlightening. Before we
Can I just jump right in? Because I really want her to talk about the lawsuit and where she is and how we can actually help her as different organizations, because that is a very powerful lawsuit that's going on right now.
Sure. So let me just give a big shout out. Let me give a big shout out to one of our supporters, Brother Sincere with Virginia Safety Coalition. He's on the line. He's listening, but he's not feeling very well right now. So we're just going to pray for him. But thank you, Brother Sincere, for supporting us. Yeah, go ahead and answer the question. Thanks for bringing that to point, Sister Karen. Go ahead, Sister Sheba.
Absolutely. We filed a lawsuit in collaboration with Fair Election Center and Terry Frank Law, who is our local counsel here in Virginia, back on April the 6th, because over the past year, this administration came in. So given history, in 2013, my rights were reinstated by Republican Governor McDonald. After 9 years, he reinstated my rights. I think I was still on probation. I think I might have been kind of breaking the law, but take it back. It's over now. Anyway. He reinstated a lot of people's rights, had a very long application. When Governor McCullough came in, he simplified the process. He tried to reinstate the rights of 231,000 Virginians who had been impacted by felony convictions. The Supreme Court ruled against that blanket reinstatement, and they had to sign each individual application one by one. We started knocking doors and finding people who had been disenfranchised for years, for decades. I'll never forget. This guy was like in his 70s and he had lost his right to vote because he's in a school zone in Franklin, Virginia. Somebody was hurt and he got convicted of a felony and couldn't vote his entire life. At 70 something,
wow.
Right back. But we kept that fight up. Governor reinstated close to like 170. Northam continued the process, simplified the process down to a one-page. A two-week turnaround time, a little bit longer if you have federal convictions because they don't have a process where they communicate with the Secretary of the Commonwealth Office. Between the three of them, about 300,000 people got their rights back. This governor came
wow.
in, and when they first came in, they fired the entire restoration of rights staff. When they realized in May of 2022 that they didn't know what they were doing, they contacted the old Secretary of the Commonwealth and asked her to come in and show them how to reinstate people's rights. They reinstated probably about 3,000, 3,400 people's rights in May 2022. That was everybody who had a pending application. In October of 2022, which is tradition to reinstate people's rights right before an election deadline, they only reinstated about 800 people's rights. We saw this. We talked about this. I sent the information to Delegate Don Scott February the 8th, 2023, and nobody made a big deal about it. And still, Legal Women Voters and Senator Surville and Spruill got a letter from the Secretary of Commonwealth saying that they are changing the process and they're operating by grace, but nobody was given concrete details about what the criteria was.
Right.
So we challenged it, and we took it to court. They have, in the past couple of weeks, reinstated people's rights here and there, but it is really an attempt to moot our lawsuit to get rid of it. So we still need people who are disenfranchised. We need people who were denied, because there were some people who I work with that were denied, to still get in touch with us so that we can continue this fight. Because this governor is going to try to reinstate the rights of people who he believes is in the lawsuit to keep the lawsuit quiet. But the fact is, they're trying to impact the November election. So what I need people to do is, one, check your status. Check your status if you were reinstated under any governor, because they have been overturning people's rights as well, which is something that is kind of coming out now. You need people to make sure that they're registered in the right place. Yes, we have same-day registration, but that means that you do a ballot that may or may not be counted. We need people who are disenfranchised. We need people who are recently released to get in touch with our organizations. And I know a lot of other organizations jumped on the bandwagon, and they're taking credit for doing this thing after we filed this lawsuit. But it doesn't make sense to keep grabbing people and putting in applications when that's not what we need to make this lawsuit fruitful.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to come on board and say, yeah, we do restoration rights. The fact is, a lot of groups weren't doing it. A lot of groups that are taking credit for this now have never done a restoration of rights application and did not care if people had their rights back. So, you know, do what you need to do to make sure that you're eligible. But if you are somebody who lost your rights, do not submit the application. Get in touch with our organization so we can get you in touch with our attorneys. Because what needs that is the power needs to come out of the hand of any governor, Republican, Democrat, whether they're leaning on the side of justice or they're not. It should not be in the hands of one individual, period. There should be concrete criteria. There should be an automated process. And if we're being all the way real, we've been fighting for universal suffrage so people never lose their right to vote from the beginning. But our Democratic, when the Democrats had the trifecta, they voted against. That is the all the way real. as the history of Virginia shows, that where slavery started and why felony disenfranchised is what it is simply because they wanted to take the power out of the hands of black voters who were newly freed slaves. It has nothing to do with public safety. It has nothing to do with the 2023 lawsuit. It has everything to do with removing power from black bodies.
Great point. Mother Queen, Krista, you want to say that? You want to add on?
You know, I'm just listening to all the information and just was sitting here thinking, like, once again, I always say, how do you want us to come home? I mean, you want us to come home more distraught, more animalistic than before. You know, jail doesn't prepare you for one or two things, to either be worse than when you went in or better than when you went in. So I don't understand how in the world they would want us to come home more worse than when they put us in there. And our target is no longer going to be each other. It's going to be them. So why set yourself up to become the target, knowing that we're going to come home to change laws to better our living conditions?
Mm-hmm.
So why not set the tone where we can all come home as citizens, thrive together, build together? Like, you're only setting yourself up for failure. But they keep on playing a vicious game with us, and it's going to come a time where their time of reigning and leading is going to be over. Prepare yourself to want to be, you know, with us and then against us. You're setting yourself up at this point. So I'm just listening to all of the facts and things, and it's just funny to me how they're going to keep on trying to hold on to a little bit of power, that last bit of power that they have. But their time is up, and I'm not. It's, at this point, it's just funny to me that they're going to keep on trying to kick us, you know, and try to hold us down. We're up. We're up right now.
That's right. Mother Queen Karen, you want to add on to that?
Yeah, I definitely want to add on, because I think Chris is right. Like, and we have to open our eyes and watch what they're doing, because if you notice, like, first of all, the governor came in and there was the good time earned credit bill that passed, and it was going to release over 6,000 incarcerated individuals. He put an addendum in, amendment in, and got that passed and blocked a lot of people that had already had home plans verified that their family members were going to pick them up in prison. And we've been fighting that. We've been watching what the ACLU's been doing. They won their first case with Stephen Freeze, and he was given immediate release. But now the pushback is, well, how are you going to take that to apply to other people who have those similar type of sentencing that we're watching? They have the Antoine Anderson case coming up in September where they're going to do oral arguments. We're also watching that to see how is that going to impact. But, like, right now, we just thank the ACLU for doing the lawsuit, but we believe that it should have been more people on the lawsuit so that they can come back and just get the whole language done properly and start to release more incarcerated individuals. And then the other thing, too, that I want people to realize, look at your parole board. I mean, I think they feel like we're not watching. And as the parole advocate, we have cases that have been pending since November of 2022, December 2022, all the way up until now, that we have no answers because they have an unstable, inconsistent board. You have three board members that are there. They're waiting for the governor to appoint two more members. We've been waiting since March when Stephen Buck wasn't confirmed. We've also been waiting since Howard Vick resigned. Why is the governor, who's a businessman, who knows that in order to run things effectively, not only with parole but with also pardon, that you need a board that is consistent of five members, and he's been holding that up. So we have to really start to watch and be mindful. And I'll just want to add this in, because I watched when they released the parole list. And a gentleman by the name of Kamal Barnes was granted parole. And when I looked, I was like, yes, he got it. But then I looked at his release date, and his release date was August the 14th, 2023. So is he truly granted parole? He doesn't need parole. Right. He's walking out of prison. Right. And actually, parole is going to hinder him and keep him in prison for another 5 months because he has to do reentry. So those numbers are not true tale. They granted parole for one person. That other person doesn't count. He's mandatory out in a few days. And we just, like you said, we have to group together, band together, because there's so many different aspects of what's happening under the Republican. And I was very supportive in the beginning when Governor Youngkin took office, because I felt like, okay, an economic governor, a governor that knows how to bring jobs, restore back things into the community, because, you know, you got to have a buying power, but you're not even releasing people to come back to work.
Yeah, that's right. And, okay, well, Brother Hassan, you want to add on?
Yeah, no question, because I think that what we see going on right now, especially in politics in general, right, is that you have a lot of people that are operating with a God complex, right? Power being placed within their hands, and then because of no oversight, they move with a certain level of autonomy, right? And creating policy and doing certain things because they know that once they get in there, people have not held them accountable. Traditionally, people don't hold the politicians and the elected officials accountable, right? But what we're coming up with and what we have to remember is this, that we can't lose sight of our spirituality in all of this, right? That righteousness is going to prevail. Like, no matter how much you try to thwart, to oppress, to downpress, and push us down, see, we bounce back like round ball. We bounce back like rubber band. The more you pull us apart, the stronger we come together. And the idea that you would proceed to perpetuate policy that causes division, that 46,000 barrier laws, right, that face an individual who has a felony when they come home.
Wow.
46,000 across this country, right? Problem. This is a big problem. And what we're trying to do now, and this is what all the organizations, and we don't care who you are, in October, we are going to be having the People's Tribunal on Virginia's prisons and jails, and we're going to develop our own data that we're going to bring up to the plate, and we're going to say we want to know from our elected officials, if this is not a part of your platform, then you're not going to get this lamb chop, whether you're Democrat or Republican, whether you're a fox or a wolf, you're not going to get this lamb chop, and that's the vote. And so we'll put somebody in there that we want in those positions. If you're not going to do what we need to do, then we'll run a primary against you, and we'll push you up out of here. Because this is the idea that the power has always been with the people, always been with the people. It is their people that give their power over to these elected officials, and then they become powerless. And so we have to do our part, right, as not just as citizens, but as human beings. Right, when right is right and wrong is wrong. There are many states where individuals are given their rights back as soon as they get out of prison. Florida, they voted people in. They voted that back in 2019, right? That everyone who comes home gets their rights back automatically. That this is something that should be a mainstay all across the board. Once you serve your time, then you get your rights back. And so these are the things that we have to push for, and then we want to call our people to arms on that. And we're going to be doing that in October. So you know, that's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah, and you all pay attention to the date of the October event, which will be held out in Richmond by the Defenders of Justice. Big ups to Mr. Phil Willato and his organization and all the many people who are supporting him and moving. Before we take before we listen in on Sister Sheba again, let's see if we have a caller calling in. Jay Sean, do we have a caller calling in? I'd like to give a positive comment or question.
Yeah, good evening, my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum, my queens and my kings.
Brother Miles, how you doing,
man?
Brother Miles?
I'm doing great. The lady said who lost her voice, she must have caught it and found it. Everything these ladies speaking on is true. If you think about it, the prison system is the cash cow for the politicians. They're scared to death because their goose is about to be cooked.
Okay.
I have a nephew who was in prison, and he's up for parole, and he said he refused to go. I asked him why. He said because it don't make no sense. Even if they let me out, I'm still in prison.
Yes.
because all these restrictions they put on him. He said he'd rather do his last 3 years and be home. He still won't be as free as a black man should be, but he'll have an opportunity to do something he can. And I do think that the reason I don't think they want us to to prosper, because in their system, they make money off us. And if we come out, you ain't got no place to live because they won't let you. Ain't got no good job. You know, they hoping you go out there and do wrong. You can get locked back up. Over here in Jersey, we every Saturday, we on the corners getting people to register to vote. We don't care who you vote for, just vote. Register. Get yourself in the system. Like the sister said, don't come crying to us later when you trying to get your parole thing. Oh, I need you help. No. Don't do that now. We cast you a couple of weeks ago. All of a sudden, we like, buttheads. Now, all of a sudden, you need our help. We don't need that. We're coming up strong. Even the young people are coming strong, and they see it. You notice how these Republicans are trying to change the voting laws, all kinds of laws now, especially down in Georgia?
Yeah.
They're afraid. Like they said, their goose is about to be cooked, and they're scared to
come
death because white America's starting to realize they're going to be like dinosaurs.
That's right.
That's
come
all
on
I
now.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you, Brother Miles. That's from one of our family members, and Sister Latoya and Brother Leon, our family members, Brother Shadi and Sister Lisa. But look, we got our caller calling in, another caller, one of our guests, Brother Marvin Monday is here with us. Sister Shibu, do you mind letting us hear Brother Monday, who's calling in from behind the walls, you guys? And let's hear what
Not
Brother Monday is calling us and asking and needing our support for. Brother Monday, are you there, brother? As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Monday? Wa alaykum as-salam, brother.
Yes,
how
sir.
Are you?
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum to the brothers and sisters on the line. Yeah, I got a bad connection down here. I can barely hear what you're saying. I did hear something in regards to voting and dealing with the system and so forth. But that's all I could really take in right at this time.
Well,
right now, yeah, it's something wrong with the connection with the phone line down here.
Why don't you just speak to us about your situation? Why don't you speak to us about your situation?
Hello?
So that we can know how we can be a help to you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, that's on cut off.
No, can you hear them, baby?
Can you hear us, Marvin?
Hello,
Marvin. Their phones are messing up.
Tell him just speak to the support he needs from us and how we can be helpful.
Okay, maybe he'll hang it up and try calling right back.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me enlighten everyone until we can get him back online. Brother Marvin, I know of him. He's been an advocate behind the walls for reforming and rectification of the brothers and sisters who are incarcerated. He's held a number of seminars and classes on etiquettes and things like that and character building. This brother's worked diligently, and he's been charge-free for over 20 years. And he just went up for parole, and he's asking all of our organizations to submit submit letters of support to him to support his release and immediate release. So everyone, before we get, hopefully we get off the show, we can find out, or if I can't find out from him, I will contact his wife and get the address or for those who need to write parole and things like this and send in a letter of representation for this brother, okay? Sister Shiva, go right ahead. Go ahead until he comes back in. Go ahead.
One thing I want to clarify, please stop pushing the narrative that people should get their rights back after incarceration. People who are incarcerated represent political capital and represent electoral votes for representatives where our prisons are located. They are human beings. 95% of them come home at some point. and they represent electoral power for those representatives who have prisons in their district. I want y'all to understand that the right to vote is taken away because they're trying to control the narrative that black people are incompetent and can't make decisions based on what they need. We have to stop saying that. People should never lose their right to vote. People should be able to have a say in what they need, and we should be there fighting tooth and nail to make sure that at school board, city council, local elections, and the water board, soil board, whatever you got to fight for, are represented and we get what we need. I need y'all to understand that, because that pretty narrative that people who commit certain offenses shouldn't be involved, that is the same thing that happens when we put forth bills and there are carve-outs. The people who are carved out are the people who are told that they shouldn't vote until they are given permission. It is your natural-born citizen's right to have a vote, and that is something that should be unabridged and not taken away. And we fall into this cute narrative that, once you do the crime, you lose your... Nah. If y'all getting power off of my body, if y'all making money off of my body, because let's be clear about who gains off of prison labor. We talking about Avis, we talking about Unipacker, we talking about Victoria's Secret, DMV, the governor's office, all of these people. If you're making money off of my back, if you're taking my tax money, then I should be able to show up and vote and say what I need. So, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people don't really understand. They fall in line with what other people say because that's a safe thing to do. But we need people to never lose their right to vote.
And, you know, that's why it's very important.
That's on point.
That's why I'm so eagerly pushing people to help support Virginia Alliance Justice Organization with they're striving to remove the 13th Amendment and amend that Constitution that once awarded to the state that you are a slave of the state, because these are some of the issues that come into play with the language and things like that, which oppress us from moving in the direction and being those who are representative of our society, even though we're incarcerated. You know what I'm saying? These rights shouldn't be taken away from us because we are citizens still of this nation. So this is a grave factor, and we do need to change that narrative and change the language how we speak to. Brother Marvin is back with us. Brother Marvin, are you there?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. I'm back with you. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you. I had to change phone. Maybe.
All right. At this moment, I'd like for you to – I know we don't have a lot of time left. I'd like for you to go ahead and speak to your purpose and why you called in tonight and how you need our support and how we can support you, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, my name is Brother Marvin Monday, and I'm up for parole right now. They're waiting on to the governor to select two more members to the parole board. They only have three members on the board. It's supposed to be five according to policy. I had an interview with the vice chairman and one of the parole board members, Mrs. Deramaya. She's the victim on the parole board. And we talked for about an hour. And they was glad that they had an opportunity to meet me face-to-face because they've been looking at data and paperwork basing their decisions all these years. I've been down 36 years, going on 37 years. And I got a good institutional record. I've been doing everything that's required of me. My co-defendants, they've been released, 5 or 6 years ago. I had a situation with my Social Security number being linked to somebody else's criminal history, and I'm just finding that out and just clear that up. So hopefully everything will be straight when I go back up for parole. But right now I'm trying to get those in the community, organization. I got a big following already, as far as supporting me and my release back in society. And I'm asking for a second chance. And I need anyone, that can call in to the parole board, send an email to the parole board in regards to asking them to give me a second chance. I done saved warden life in prison since I've been in prison. I saved a warden life. I saved a correctional officer life from violent attacks in prison. I got computer. I'm very skilled in a lot of different areas as far as trades and programs. I got about 40 or 50 programs. I done create four programs dealing with behavior modification. I teach around the system. I've been transferred at least 25 times, and that's all because I wanted to share the tools and skills that I've learned with the other guys who's going home as to returning back into society. So I do a lot of teaching around the system, and I'm asking for the parole board to give me a second chance. So I would like the community, and for anyone, you know what I'm saying, that's listening to this podcast, to be able to, you know, send an email to the parole board chairman, Mr. Dotson, and asking him to support me having a second chance to return back to society.
Well,
I heard y'all. Yes, sir.
Marvin, I'm curious to find out how long have you been waiting for your vote? Marvin, can you hear me? Yeah, how long have you been waiting to get your answer?
Well, I went up in April for parole. I seen the parole board. Family, they seen the parole board in May. I had a big support system. They seen them in May. And they can't make no vote right now because I need four votes. They only have three members on the parole board. And they can't vote until they get two more members on the parole board. That's what I'm being told.
Yeah.
So I've been waiting.
So this is what we need to do as a community as well. We need to start to call the governor's office and tell them that they knew in March that they were losing two board members. It shouldn't be this long for someone to wait for an answer, especially a candidate that's viable. I love Chair Dotson. Chair Dotson has always come out and says that he believes in second chances and that the one thing that he doesn't want is for people to stay in prison longer than they have to. And we have to give him the tools that he needs. And if he needs two new board members, the governor should not have an issue in taking so long. He's been waiting since May is the final because his family went up, so technically you can't start voting until May. We're already a couple of days shy of August. It shouldn't take long to replace two board members.
That's right. And that's something that we all need to be pressed to. You know, go ahead, Hassan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say this too. This has been a problem. It's been an ongoing thing since the board was dismantled. And they strived, and then when it came for confirmation time back in March, then some of the board members were not confirmed. And the problem that has been since that time, is that there's many men who went up before that time, even before Marvin, that went up that are still waiting on a decision because they need four members, at least four, right, deny them. They can't deny them with three because they need four votes to get it. So you can't just deny me if you don't have the votes for me to get it. Now that becomes a due process issue, right? And that's something that is
absolutely
also being done, because sometimes we have to look at this from a lawsuit standpoint, right? Because there is due process that attaches if you're saying that you're taking me up, but I have to have four votes for a life sentence, but you're taking me up anyway. And then holding me at bay until you get another member, while other people are going up being granted parole and then some being denied. But those who have that type of time are being held in abeyance.
Let me jump right in. Very rarely are they being granted, because again, if you're watching the numbers, it's like 0-1, so they're not being granted. But you have a great point about their being denied. So here's what I've been told. What I've been told is that the board's policy requires three concurrent board members. So as long as there's three concurrent board members, they actually can vote on even sentences as Marvin would like, because if there's no pathway. So say, for example, they meet with have a docket meeting where they talk about the case and all three board members say, hey, I can't vote for this person, right? So that person is automatically denied because there's no path for them to be granted. But one good thing that the chair has done is he's being very respectful to those people who are serving life and that may have a viable chance. Marvin said something that was very important. He had a second interview with the vice chair and also Michelle Dermeyer, the victim advocate. What that signals to us is that the chair has come around and he's doing something that we call revolutionary. He's actually starting to talk to candidates, because he wants to not look at the paper pencil. He doesn't want to look at the institutional record. He wants to look at the person that the board is making a decision on, and it seems to be working in the favor. But what's holding us up right now, because I have a lot of people that we actually work with and we're waiting on votes, is that the governor has the power to appoint two board members. And I'm going to say it, and I hope that I don't get any backlash from it, but at this particular time, he has not done so. And with him not appointing the two board members, it is holding up parole. Not only is it holding up parole, but it's also holding up pardons, because the two offices mm-hmm. work together. You cannot go through the pardon process if you don't have a parole board to vote on these cases. And so, like, even with us, the sound of our voices, if you feel that you're capable of being on the parole board, like, I love Kimba Pradia Smith. She was on the parole board. She was formerly incarcerated. And I think she was one of the best board members that I've come across. And so don't let your record, your past criminal record, hold you back. Go ahead and make that application. Make that conversation and realize that you have an opportunity to be on a board that you can make decisions to help people get out. So, like, right now, since the governor's sending a message that there's no one that he's looking at right now, or there's not an appointment, let's make those calls and see if we can get some of our people on the board. Let's get going.
Okay. This is why we have the people on this panel that we have on this panel, everyone, because we want to be rounded to be able to address all the concerns of the issues. And this is why our hosts consist of the people that we have, because everyone is a professional in the field in which we're talking about in criminal justice. So you're listening to valuable people with valuable information. Let's let Brother Marvin get in and say what let's hear what he has to say and how we can support him and let him go, because we have to close out in another 10 minutes. And Brother Marvin, you want to go ahead and just tell everybody why it's so important and go ahead and push your plea, brother, because we're here for you.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I just want to thank everybody, that's online right now, contributing to the cause of the injustice that's taking place, with not only the system, but I heard you speaking about the voters in as well, and there is power in the vote, and those who are in office, they're not doing what they need to do, and as far as the agenda, putting forth the agenda that the people in the society have put together to make the change that need to be changed, then they need to be moved out of office and put somebody else in there to take their place. What I wanted to say was that I got a pardon before the governor as well. And I got a pardon is because according to the Virginia Code 53.1-191, it says that it speaks about extraordinary services performed by a prisoner. That means if you donate blood to another prisoner, if you find some keys, or you stop somebody from escaping, if you it's extraordinary circumstances, and me saving the life of the warden and saving the life of a correction officer is extraordinary circumstances, that calls for credit. They're supposed to give you credit towards your sentence, credit towards your parole. And right now, it's before the governor, and it's before the parole board, and it's before the Department of Correction, Mr. Harold Clark. The petition, because according to 53.1-191, it talks about sentence reduction, and it speaks about anybody who can earn sentence reduction, and based on their particular sentence, it says an offender must have voluntarily or at the instant of a prison official render or extraordinary services as such as saving the life of any person, preventing serious bodily harm, or substantial damage to state property. These are some of the criteria in order to get the sentence reduction that I'm looking for. Right now, the credit that they give you goes towards your eligibility date if you got a life sentence. But I'm already eligible for parole. So what I'm asking them is to grant me parole based on my extraordinary services that I perform in saving the life of two state employees. And it's documented, it's in my record. I got copies of it and everything. And I got that before the governor, and I got that before the parole board, and I got it before the director of the Department of Correction.
Marvin, let me add this into you, too. You have something very important. You're under the old law. And I think there's something, too, that you have to emphasize when you go up for parole in your case and just to the audience, because when you were sentenced, we weren't sentencing people to 500 years in prison or 200 years. You were getting parole eligibility probably after 20 years or 25 years of your sentence. And when you are eligible for parole, that means at that particular time, you are free to go home. They just have to go ahead and vote for Grant. And so you've been going up for parole under the old law, where the laws have changed to now truth in sentencing, and you're crossing over and you're receiving a harsher punishment than if you were still under the old law. I think people don't understand that, and we've been fighting the parole board to understand that there's many different types of sentences that they're looking at, and they should really give those who are under the old law more and serious consideration and let you guys go home. You're old timers.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And I've been in here since I was 23 years old, and I'm 60 years old now. But then I started going up for parole in 18 years. I started going up for parole, and right now I done did 37. So, I mean, I done did the time with my eligibility date for parole, you know what I'm saying, it was in 2004. And I mean, now it is 2023, and I'm still here. My codefendant has been released, and I'm still here. But I know there was some discrepancies at one time. I don't have a five infractions, and I came in the system for a violent crime, and I don't have no violence nowhere in my record since I've been incarcerated. You know, so I got letters from wardens, directors, reentry supervisors. I got letters from everyone talking about my character, my conduct, my behavior since I've been in prison. Because that's all I do is go around and I teach, and I share the skills and tools that I learned in the programs that I took in the Department of Correction, and I share with other inmates that's going back into society as well as those who are still incarcerated. So I've been putting in the work, and I'm not doing it for parole. I'm doing it because it's in my heart to want to give back, and I want to do the same thing when I get in the community.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm here to co-sign in behalf of the character of this man who was a mentor to me in the time that I was with him under his tutelage in the reentry program at Greensville. And I just want everyone to know, this is why it is so imperative for you to get involved. You know what I'm saying? And this is why we have these organizations in place, because there is an injustice going on. That is not just an injustice to this man, but it's an injustice to everyone who is under the liability of this umbrella of this nation, what we call America. And people have to understand, you cannot keep talking about fighting the fight, but yet you're sitting at home on your with your remote control fussing at the TV, man. That's not the solution. You know what I'm saying? That's not the solution. We got to get up out of these couches. We got to get up out of these big cars that we're riding in. We got to get up out of this luxury life that we're looking to live. And we got to start fighting for what is rightfully ours, and that's the right to be treated as a human being, no matter your circumstances or your situation or condition. So we only got 5 minutes now. Brother Marvin, I love you. I thank you for taking the time to call in, brother. And if you need any other time you'd like to call in, feel free to call in and let me know. And we'd love to have you on to talk at any time that you're available, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay? All right, brother. I love you.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here.
I love y'all.
We got to close, ladies and gentlemen. We got like 5 minutes. So we did have one caller in, which I want to respect our callers who are calling in. Sister LaToya, if she can bring her in, she's got like a minute to say something. Jayshawn.
Grand Rising, come in peace.
Peace.
This is Brother Leon. Yes, very good show. I know y'all got less than a minute, so I'm not even going to start taking y'all down a rabbit hole. The brother that's incarcerated, I'm going to let you know, brother, you coming home without a shadow of a doubt. You know what I mean? I know, you've been patient all this time.
You
but
have
coming home,
1 minute remaining.
So, and the sister that talked, keep doing up the good work. You know, I wanted to get into a deep conversation with you about that, but just keep doing the good work. Good show. And I regret.
Thank you, Leon.
Yes,
thank you, brother. Thank you, Sister LaToya and Brother Leon. We appreciate you so much. We got one more caller, y'all. Jayshawn, let that one more call. Caller, you got 1 minute. Actually, you got like 30 seconds. Caller.
Hi, is that me?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Hi, how are you? came on to the show, and I am just thinking from the last brother who was speaking that they're using him. They're using him to rehabilitate, re-educate, and re-strengthen the other young brothers in there. The only reason he could still be in there. They're using him and paying him much less money than he should be getting paid.
Absolutely. And what is your name, sister?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Eva Adene.
Thank you for using GTL.
Thank you for calling in, and we appreciate your support. Please continue to join us and become a part of the Point of Impact family. We thank you so much. And I want to, right now, I want to let everyone, beginning with our guest, everyone has like a good 20 seconds to bow out, and we've had a good show. I wanted to get so much of this content in and just show the love. So, brother, sister, Sheba, you want Mother Queen, you want to go ahead and give your final words?
Absolutely. My only thing is for Brother Monday, and my uncle goes up for parole tomorrow after 35 years. We keep fighting, and I think I can say that for everybody on the call, and I'll just, you know, give my time to everybody else.
All right. And Sister Sheba, we love you. You know that we love you. We appreciate you, and we are definitely in your corner. Listen, knock them out. Knock them out, sister, because you are doing it. All right. With that, we're going to get Mother Queen Krista. You want to get some final words, Mom?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, amazing, good show, and all the best wishes to Brother Mundy. You know, we wish him the best and hope to see him soon out from the prison system. Gloves are off at this point. Lipstick off, wash the makeup off. There's no more playing around and trying to abide by their rules. We're making up a new set of rules and a new set of laws. And like you said, if they're not going to abide by what we put in place, then it's time for them to get voted out and they can go find a job, like you say, at Walmart.
That's right. That's right. Okay. That's right. Mother Queen, Karen, you want to go ahead and give your final words, sister?
I just want to say the energy that we all got going on is great. And I'm like, this is a great team. And we know we're going to get things done because all of us together are fighters. So let's just keep fighting for freedom. That's it.
That's good. That's right. Brother to the people, Hassan.
Yeah, brother. Listen, man, there ain't no armchair revolutionaries here, man. That's all I'm going to say, right? We're about this life. We're about this business. You can plan on seeing us. If you're in the General Assembly, yo, look for Point of Impact. We're going to be there.
Hello. That's right. Point of Impact, y'all. And Brother Jason, you want to give any final word, brother?
Oh, first of all, LaToya wanted you to know that you're doing a wonderful job, everybody. And for the lady that was speaking, keep doing what you're doing. And I just want to say you're picking up speed. Everybody out there is doing a great job. They're doing a great job. This platform is really needed. Everybody be safe. Peace.
Alhamdulillah. Well, everybody, this is me, Brother Minhaj Malai. I got to sign out, but I want to just say, man, thank you to all of our listeners and supporters. You know, but most importantly, everyone, I got to just give praise and thanks to Allah, God, you know what I'm saying, for giving me and those who are my co-hosts the strength and the faith that we continue to take on this battle. May Allah continue to guide us on the straight path. I mean, I'm very grateful for our guest today, Sister Sheba, you know, and our guest, Brother Marvin Monday. And, you know what I'm saying? Look, man, it's really a serious issue. I know personally the fight, and I'm so grateful for the people who have supported what we're doing and what we're striving for on this platform. And remember, stay tuned, because in the month of August, we will be going live. So stay tuned so that you can be present at one of these live events to this platform. Point of Impact is taking another step up, and we're just here. Community United Focus, freedom over everything, fight for freedom. You know what I'm saying? We all here. And for all of our other coalition organizations, you know what I'm saying, we love you all. Please support Point of Impact. When you see it on your page, you know we're coming on every Sunday at 7 p.m. please touch down. If you would like to be a part of our show, please contact me on Facebook or DM me on Facebook or Instagram so that we can get you on the show, because I can't get everybody, you know, all at once. But if you remind me and let me know that you're here and you want to get on the show, we can definitely get you on the show, because this is necessary and we all have to join together. We got to go, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to die off in a minute. So I just want everybody at this moment, just right now, listen, man, stop what you're doing, man. Stop what you're doing right now and just do something that will benefit you in this life and in the hereafter, and that will benefit your family and that will benefit your community, your locality. Let's do it together. We can do it together, make a better life and a better means of life for us all together. With that, we love you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and may Allah keep you all safe. And if anything we have said that was wrong or an error, please forgive us, and that was of our own mistake. And anything that we have said was a benefit to you, surely all praise belongs to Allah. Everybody have a safe night. Point of Impact, we out.
Hello. Shout out, Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make your pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.